Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's call is being recorded. Now, for introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Christy Snyder. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Sheila, and welcome everyone to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is high availability options for WebSphere MQ for iSeries. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, the lines will open for a question-and-answer session. Today's presenter is Karen Stanley. Karen currently has the title of Advisory Software Engineer and has been with IBM for 17 years. She has worked with IBM Customer Support and Services for a majority of her career. Currently, she is a member of the WebSphere MQ team and serves as one of the subject matter experts for iSeries, as well as focal point for the iSeries Common Education Conference. As focal point for Common, she has presented on various topics for the conference. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Karen. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Christy. Good morning, everyone. As mentioned, today's topic is about high availability options, particularly for WebSphere MQ. In this case, what if you do not have a high availability business product in-house? What can you do to add a little bit more security to your system? Page 3, please. Some of the topics that we'll be covering today involve what are your save-restore options, support pack MS03, as many of you may be aware of. Also, what replication options are available to me if I don't use a high availability business partner, such as Mimix, Vision, or Itera. At the back of the presentation, you will see a list of all the business partners that we have. The presentation has a great deal of detail, so we won't talk to each slide. I've tried to write this presentation so that you'll have it and be able to try a couple of things in your shop on some of your test boxes. We'll also talk about what many of you probably are aware of. We call it the cold start procedure. This is when the target queue manager will not start, or even if your primary queue manager will not start, and have a brief discussion regarding WebSphere MQ clustering. Page number 5, please. First off, let's talk about what save-restore options you have available to you on MQ. As you may know, one of the main things about MQ is that it does require you to shut down the queue manager if you're going to perform save while active or save change objects. The reason being that when you perform those functions, that if the queue manager is still active, you can cause the queue manager to lock up when the files are in use, which will cause the queue manager to abnormally terminate. So our recommendation is anytime you want to back up the queue manager or the MQ product itself, to quiesce all queue managers, which requires that no one be accessing the queue manager applications, monitoring applications, and that everything be quiesced or shut down. This slide will give you for version 5.3 and for version 6 the recommended way that we would like to see the queue manager shut down. Page 6. Here we have a list that if you're on the iSeries system, you can back up your queue managers to save files or to disk or whatever option is best for you. And this slide, we're just showing you you can use save files, which many of our customers do. And mainly you need to save the queue manager library and the IFS, or the integrated file system, where your queue manager directories reside. And you'll also note that down at the bottom, we implement what commands you can do, restore live and restore, to restore it back onto a target system if you like. This is the very basic thing that you can do if you don't have a HA product installed on your site, that you can take it from the source and just restore that queue manager directly to the new target to get your production back up and running, or in some people's case, your test environment. Please page to number 7. Another option that many of our customers like, and this is to use a support pack that we have. Support pack is MS03. Many of you probably know it as QSave QManager. This support pack is widely used across all the platforms. The developer that created it for us has written it to run not only on iSeries, but also the Unix and the Windows platforms. Basically, it saves a script of your queue manager, meaning your queue manager definitions, queues, processes, channel definitions, and all of their attributes. However, it does not save any data. So if you have data on the queues, that will not go to the target system or get transported to the target system. There is another tool that you'll see in your notes that we call Retrieve MQM On. This is a very handy tool. Right now you can only acquire it by contacting us at Level 2, and we'll be more than happy to send it to you. The purpose of it is to save your security. One drawback of MS-03 or QSave Queue Manager is that it will not save your authorities. So if you created special authorities for individual programmers or other admin people, that information won't get saved with the QSave Queue Manager script. So we would recommend using the Retrieve MQ Auth. And just like the QSave Queue Manager, it creates a script file of all your security, so that on the target system, you can recreate the queue manager using the definitions and then run the authority script to rebuild everything, and you should be back up and running fairly quickly. The one thing about using these tools is that the command server and the queue manager must be active. You cannot use these tools if the queue manager is down. Another option that you are going to have in page 9, please, is replication options. What replication options do you have? Since MQ on the iSeries takes advantage of using journals, which is unique to the iSeries platform, you now have the capability, particularly at your 5.2, 5.3, and even your 5.4 operating system, to use remote journaling. Many of the business partners also have implemented the remote journaling mechanism into their product to make things even a little bit more user-friendly as far as their product. With remote journaling, we're taking advantage of, as I said, the operating system capability of mirroring your data. In this case, you would be mirroring data from the AMQA journal to from the source system to the target system. And the graph that's before you is showing you that you would have to duplicate AMQA journal and the checkpoint object. Now, you wouldn't duplicate or try to journal the QMQM checkpoint object. However, you would have to copy it from the source to the target periodically for that data to be updated on the target system. And you would need a journal scrape program to read the information on the target journal and copy it into the queue manager that you want to be the backup queue manager for the source. Where you see the journal scrape program, think of it as this is where, if you were to buy a HA product, where they could hook in to mirror that data for you. It all depends on your environment. If you have just maybe test systems, you may not need a full HA product. But if your account or if your shop needs to be up fairly quickly, then definitely consider implementing some type of high availability product from one of our business partners. In this presentation, this is basically what can I do, for lack of a better term, on a shoestring budget so that I can keep my environment as smooth running as possible. Page 10. Thank you. The next couple of slides, and we won't go through each one, but what I've done is implemented a scenario that you can actually try on your test service if you like. Basically, I've given you the steps of what you could set up to do remote journaling. You would need to create a rational database entry. If some of you have strict security, you may need to add a server authority entry. Of course, create the queue manager. And on the next slide, which we won't go to right now, you will need on that side, on the target side, to create the profile, another queue manager, and its library. But the steps here are everything you would need to just see what can remote journaling do for me in my MQ environment? So I'll let you, if you have a chance, to give that a try. And you, if you have any questions for me about this particular procedure, you're more than welcome to send me an email about it. I've been working on this for a while, so if you have questions about this particular scenario, I'll be more than happy to assist you with it. Age 12. One of the terms that you probably hear a great deal, and as in the previous slides, we were talking about the checkpoint, that you would periodically have to move that from the source to the target system. The checkpoint occurs automatically for your queue managers. In our case, it occurs every 10,000 gets or puts for a persistent messages. You have two types of messages that you can have on your queues, persistent and non-persistent. If your messages are non-persistent, basically you're telling us that when the queue manager shuts down, that we don't need to store that information. So when the queue manager comes back up, those messages are lost. However, if your data is persistent, of course, when the queue manager goes down, when you're quiescing it and then bringing it back up, that data remains on your queue. So again, a checkpoint will take place every 10,000 puts and or gets for a queue manager. However, if you don't process that many messages, we will automatically do a checkpoint in 30 minutes if you haven't processed one. We do recommend if you have a great many messages that you're processing that you periodically may wish to run the record MQM image command. And what some of our customers have done is to use the job scheduling facility on the iSeries and have that command run at a certain time during the day when maybe the system is not so busy so that they can get a snapshot of all their definitions and the messages that are on the queue. And that's the important part. The record MQ image, when it forces the checkpoint, it is getting a snapshot of not only the definitions for that queue manager, but also regarding your persistent data, so that if we have to recover for any reason, we go back to the journals and retrieve that information, and you can do a recreate MQM object command. I've made a link in your presentation to the WebSphere MQ for iSeries system admin book. There is a chapter, I believe it's chapter 7, that talks even more about different logging mechanisms. It may not be as exciting reading to some, but it does have a great deal of good information for you. Page 14. Another option that you will have, and this is only specific to the new WebSphere MQ version 6, that if you're currently running version 6, you probably have seen that you have some new parameters on your command. Still not using any HA business product in your environment, you have a new mechanism now of using recovery or mirroring. Still using remote journaling, as we had in the previous description that we talked about. Now on the start MQM command, you have a new parameter called perform replay only and active backup. This mechanism gives you the ability, without having to make a copy of the QMQM checkpoint and moving it from the source to the target, as the previous scenario gave you. Now, instead, you just set up the remote journaling, and periodically on the target system, you start the queue manager with an option, perform replay. And when that happens, it automatically will recreate the QMQM checkpoint file and load up the queues and messages automatically for you. And when you're ready to, if you're going to fail over to the target system, the queue manager needs to be started with an activate backup star yes. Otherwise, the queue manager will not start. If you would turn to page 15, here are the parameters, or the new parameters, for the start MQM command. And you'll see there toward the bottom, perform replay only and activate backup. Again, if you say perform replay only, star yes at start on the start MQM command, it will read what has been mirrored over to the queue manager from the source system. And then when you want to fail over, you start it again with activate set to star yes. I've also put in the following slides for you, and if you want, I would recommend getting the PDF from the tech doc so that you can have it in-house with you to reference additional information on the StartMQM command. I've put the online help information for each one of those parameters to make it available for you. Please turn to page 17. This slide, we're talking about what happens if the queue manager won't start, whether it's your source or your target. Many of the problems that we see here in the support center regarding the queue manager not starting, they normally have something to do with the journals, whether the journals can't be read, they've been corrupted for some reason, or maybe the journal receivers that we need to start the queue manager are not available to us, meaning maybe they've been deleted or saved off to tape or disk. If this occurs, then if you can't restore those receivers, the only option is to perform what we call the cold start procedure. And the cold start procedure has been around since version 4. It's gone through a great many iterations. Right now, you can do this as a step-by-step procedure. However, in version 5.3 of MQ, our developers created a program in the QMQM library that automated this process. It is not documented, hence we call it the undocumented cold start program. But it is available to all customers. Just do a call to AMQOCLS4, and it does accept three parameters, one being the queue manager library, which is the first parameter, then your queue manager name, and then the size that you would like the journal receivers to be. Next, you can do this on version 5.3 and version 6. At 5.3, however, you need to be at the latest maintenance level, or at least at 6 Pack 6, because there was an update provided to add the size parameter. It is in the base of version. It is in the base of version 6, but the CSD is for version 5.3. Sorry, page 18, please. Thank you. Here again is some additional information specifically regarding the cold start program, AMQOCLS4. I've also given you screenshots of what you will see in the next three slides. When you use AMQOCLS4, it will ask you, do you want me to back up your queue manager? It will back it up to save files into the QGPL library. I would always say yes, because if you have a problem where you cannot start your queue manager and you really need to get it started up before you, before we can do any problem determination, one of the things that helps us a great deal is to get a copy of the queue manager, and then we can try doing some testing here on our servers to see why it's not performing as you expected. So if you use this program, please always take the option to say yes to back up the queue manager. Page 22. Another option that you may not be aware that you have as far as a high availability option is MQ clustering. This has been around since version 5 first was introduced from IBM, I should say. And clustering is becoming more and more popular with our customers, particularly with our mainframe customers. We've got some pretty extensive environments out there that are taking advantage of some of its features. Page 23. Now, this slide is showing you what a typical clustering environment looks like. You will always have in a cluster environment a full repository which will maintain all the definitions about the queue manager and the definitions in a cluster. You'll also have anyone that's not considered a full repository is considered what we call a partial. And then you can have a clustered object, which would be a queue. In this particular scenario, we have the same cube defined across three queue managers. And as you can see there at the bottom where the X is, this queue manager for some reason has is not available to accept data anymore. So the queue manager off to your left has a client application that's putting messages. It realizes that queue manager 3 is unavailable to it. However, it has two queue managers with the same queue definition, and we'll just call it Q1, available to it. You'll see the little cloud, workload balancing. Using this feature, it will send a message to Q1 on queue manager 1 and a Q1 on queue manager 2, which is what I'm referring to as the queue manager in the middle. And it will go back and forth. Once queue manager 3 is available, then any messages that were originally targeted for that queue manager will be sent to that queue manager for processing on its Q1 queue in the cluster environment. This is a way for you to back up your definitions if you have it across multiple queue managers. As I stated, many of our customers are taking advantage of this feature. Mainly, I've seen them on the ZOS platform or the mainframe platform. We do have several customers in iSeries that like to use clustering. Also, another favorite platform seems to be Windows platform. Page 24. And as I stated, you have a single queue that is across multiple queue managers, all that are in the cluster environment. Clustering is its own topic to itself, so I've given you the link to the WebSphere MQ Queue Manager Clustering Manual. This is actually a very good manual. It is written as a workbook, so if you are interested in setting up clustering in your shop, I would recommend reviewing this and doing several of the tasks. They take you through the process of setting up a cluster. When a cluster is down, how can you do PD for the cluster or problem determination? How can I add other queue managers to already existing clusters, tasks such as those? Again, it's a very good book. Many of my coworkers, I think this is probably one of our favorite books because of the way it was written. It's written more like a workbook, so it actually gives you step-by-step instructions on how to accomplish these tasks. Page 25. Here on this slide, I'm showing you the components that make up a cluster. We briefly talked about full repository, partial, the cluster object, and of course the main thing, where are the messages coming from? What transmit queue? Because in a cluster environment, you don't have to define the transmit queue. That will all go through our system default object of system.cluster.transmitQueue. And, of course, one of the main features or functions that clustering buys you is the workload management, which refers to the little cloud that we were talking about previously. Page 26. The following slides are from a coworker of mine from Rochester, David Perez. We thought it would be very beneficial to give you some information that, okay, I'm not using an HA, I'm not going to use WebSphere MQ clustering maybe. Are there any other options available to me? And what he's done, and I've given you his email address, and he's very happy to take any questions from you, is that on iSeries platform, or System I, as he refers to it, or the i5, depending on which term you're comfortable with now, is to use i5 or System I clustering itself. Page 27. In i5 clustering, similar to, I guess we can say, MQ clustering, you're clustering multiple queue managers together. Let's go to page 28. Thank you. In this graph, you'll see I have two servers, a primary node and a backup node, and I'm going to use an i5 cluster. In this scenario, I'm going to also use independent auxiliary storage pools. In this case, you'll see the graph toward the bottom, the green cylinder. This is separate from both of these servers. This is its own separate piece of hardware, and you have these high-speed loops connecting the two servers, the primary and the backup. And we're also going to take advantage of TCP/IP, which is your communication layer. Now, this is restricted to location, so you can't have this in California and another server in New York. This particular setup won't work for you in that scenario. But if you have, it's right there in the same the same lab, this is very feasible for you. The HSL loops do have a restriction, 15 meters for copper, 250 meters for optical. But basically what will happen in this environment, you have Queue Manager A on both the primary and the backup nodes. When the primary node goes down, it will switch over to the backup node, but your data is on the independent ASP, so it will continue to function. Again, this is without using an HA business partner as your high availability option. Page 29. Another option for you, still using i5 OS cluster, is if you mirror the independent apps. And there is a concept within iSeries where they call geo-mirroring. So in this scenario, you have a primary node and the backup node. Both have their own independent ASPs where they're storing their IFS information, so that when a switch or a failover has to occur, then the backup node, it is constantly being updated while the primary is active. For everything that is happening on the primary, it's flowing across to the backup, so that if when the primary goes down, the backup picks up from where the primary is left off. This does not have a distance restriction as the previous slide indicated, so you can have a great deal more distance. We recently had a customer that wanted to have his main server go to St. Louis and another server actually in New York. One of the concepts that he was concerned about in this case was performance. Knowing he could do this, but how will it perform? In those types of scenarios, it's very difficult for us to judge. We do know there is going to be some performance hit, but we don't know how much unless we actually see it in action and are able to analyze what is occurring. But that's just something for you to be aware of. Another option, page 30, please, is to combine i5 clustering with WMQ clustering. You probably look at this and go, man, there's a lot going on here. And there is, because you have not only independent ASPs running for each queue manager and for each server, you're also taking advantage of the geo-mirroring, which, again, when the primary goes down, or before the primary goes down, remember, everything is active, so what's happening on the primary is flowing across to your backup, so that server is up and running. And in this particular scenario, you probably noticed where you have Queue Manager A prime and Queue Manager B prime, that node A is the primary for Queue Manager A, and node B is the primary for Queue Manager B. So as I stated, both of these servers are constantly up and running, and one could be is primary for one queue manager, and the other is primary for the second queue manager, in this case B. So you can have all types of different scenarios using independent ASPs. Page 32. We do get many questions about who would you recommend that we contact regarding high availability. We do have 6 business partners. And I've given you a list of the business partners that we have and their website. I actually get to see them every time I go to Common and get a chance to actually speak with them, and just so that we can have a good relation about when we run across a customer that's using their product, that we know how they've set that environment up so we can understand the background for what they're doing. We have, again, Lakeview, Vision, Data Mirror, iTerra, which is fairly new for us. MaxA has been with us for the last, I think, 3 years. And a new one is QLS, and they're based out of Europe. Page 33. I've also given you on the next couple of slides a couple of, I hope, very helpful links regarding high availability. I found that that first link, high availability and clusters, is specific for the iSeries platform. It is it's a red book, and I found even though it's a fairly old red book, it still has a great deal of good information. And you can also find information that's particular for the MQ environment on our support page there. And if you need to access the library, there's the link for that. Another good red book, again, fairly old. Remote journaling has been around since, I checked with Rochester, since version 4, but is really starting to come into its own now with version 5.2 and 5.3 of the operating system, and now 5.4. But the information to get just the basics of remote journaling and the capabilities that you can use it for, is still, that information is still very good, and that red book I found was very helpful. Page 34. If you find that you have some people in your team that are fairly new to MQ, we do recommend the MQ Series Primer. If some of you have ever spoken with me before and you told me that you're new or you have some people new to the team, the very first thing that I always ask you to give them is the MQ Series Primer. It gives you a good basic background and terminology for MQ. Another good document for iSeries customers is the WebSphere MQ for iSeries Best Practices Guide. That has information not only about high availability, but as some of you may have just went through, or we've all just went through the daylight savings time, that information is documented there. Again, automating journal management. Since journals are so important to us, we do find that many of our customers never clean up their journals. And this is a manual process. If you don't manually clean up those journal receivers, they will fill up your system and you'll probably most likely call me and ask us what you can do. One of our developers created a tool, automating journal management, particularly for the iSeries platform, that will automatically clean up your journal receivers. The link there not only gives you the tool itself, but the source, and you'll also find all the README information about it. Page 35. And here we have links to other WebSphere MQ products. I'll let you take a look at this information. The chart here includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. Developer Works offers in-depth technical information. The events links on the support pages points you to webcast and conference information. You can visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up to the learning curve very quickly. The ESR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open and update and view PMRs online. And the My Support link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products that interest you. So at this time, I've concluded, and I'll turn the presentation back over to Christy.
Thank you, Karen, for a great presentation. At this point, Sheila, we would like to open the lines for questions. I will now turn the call over to Karen Stanley.
And at this time, it appears we have no questions from the phone audience. I would like to turn the conference back over to Christy Snyder for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you. And at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope that the information presented today has been useful to you. We appreciate your participation as well. We hope you will join us for future presentations. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you, Karen, for presenting today.
And ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's presentation. Thank you for your participation, and you may disconnect at this time.